శ్రుతి విచక్రమే విచక్రమే విశ్వం విశ్వం శాసనానశనే ఉభే విశ్వం శాసనానశనే ఉభే యదవిద్యా చ విద్యా చ పురుషస్తు భయాశయ శృతి విచక్రమే విశ్వం శాసనానశనే ఉభే యదవిద్యా విద్యా చ పురుషస్తు భయాశయ శృతి విచక్రమే విశ్వం శాసనానశనే ఉభే యద్విద్యా చ విద్యా చ పురుషస్తు భయాశయ శృతి ద డెస్టినేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ విచక్రమే ఎగ్జిస్ట్ కాంప్రహెన్సివ్లీ విశ్వన్ ది ఆల్ పర్వైడింగ్ పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ శాసన activities of lording it over, anashane, anashane, activities in devotional service, ubhe, both, yat, what is, avidya, nescience, cha, as well as, Vidya, factual knowledge, cha, and Purushaha, the Supreme Person, tu, but, ubhaya, for both of them, ashraya, the Master, translation and purpose by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, by his energies, the all-pervading personality of Godhead is thus comprehensively the master in the activities of controlling and in devotional service. He is the ultimate master of both nescience and factual knowledge of all situations. Purport. The word Vishwan is significant in this verse. One who travels perfectly in every field of activity is called the Purusha or Kshetrajna. These two terms, Kshetrajna and Purusha, are equally applicable to both the individual self and the Supreme Self, the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 13.3, the matter is explained as follows. Kshetratnyam chapi maam vidhi sarva kshetre shubharata kshetra kshetrajnayor jnanam yattat jnanam matam mama. Kshetra means the place, and one who knows the place is called the Kshetratnya. The individual soul knows about his limited field of activities, but the Supreme Self, the Lord, knows about the unlimited field of activities. The individual soul knows about his own thinking, feeling and willing activities. But the Super Soul or the Paramatma, the Supreme Controller, being present everywhere, knows everyone's thinking, feeling and willing activities. And as such, the individual living entity is a minute master of his personal affairs, whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of everyone's affairs, past, present and future. Vedaham samatitani, etc. Only the ignorant person does not know this difference between the Lord and the living entities. The living entities, as distinguished from incognizant matter, may be qualitatively equal to the Lord in cognizance, but the living entity can never be equal to the Lord in full knowledge of past, present and future. And because the living entity is partially cognizant, he is therefore sometimes forgetful of his own identity. This forgetfulness is specifically manifested in the field of the Ekapad Vibhuti of the Lord or in the material world. But in the Tripada Vibhuti field of actions or in the spiritual world, there is no forgetfulness by the living entities, who are free from all kinds of contaminations resulting from the forgetful state of existence. The material body is the symbol of the gross and subtle form of forgetfulness. Therefore, the whole atmosphere of the material world is called avidya or nescience, whereas the whole atmosphere of the spiritual world is called vidya, are full of knowledge. There are different stages of avidya and they are called dharma, artha and moksha. The idea of moksha or liberation held by the monist in the matter of oneness of the living entity and the Lord by ultimate merging in one is also the last stage of materialism or forgetfulness. Knowledge of the qualitative oneness of the self and super self is partial knowledge and ignorance also, because there is no knowledge of qualitative difference as explained above. The individual self can never be equal to the Lord in cognizance. Otherwise, he could not be placed in the state of forgetfulness. So because there is a stage of forgetfulness of the individual cells or the living entities, there is always a gulf of difference between the Lord and the living entity, as between the part and the whole. The part is never equal to the whole. So the conception of 100% equality of the living being with the Lord is also nescience. In the field of nescience, activities are directed toward lording it over the creation. In the material world, therefore, everyone is engaged in acquiring material opulence to lord it over the material world. Therefore, there is always clash and frustration, which are the symptoms of nescience. But in the field of knowledge, there is devotional service to the Lord, bhakti. Therefore, there is no chance of being contaminated by the influence of nescience or forgetfulness, avidya, in the liberated stage of devotional activities. The Lord is thus the proprietor of the fields both of nescience and of the cognition, and it remains the choice of the living entity to exist in either of the above regions. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalkataru Vescha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So, welcome everyone to today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. So, in this verse, we can see that Lord Brahma is continuing to explain to his son and disciple Srila Narada Muni that how the Supreme Lord, by his energies, is just comprehensively the master in the activities of controlling and in devotional service. He is the ultimate master of both nescience and factual knowledge of all situations. So here we can see that Lord Brahma, who is the firstborn living entity in the entire universe, he is sitting on the lotus flower. I think, can somebody close the door? It's making noise. Can somebody do that? So, Brahmaji was alone in the beginning. And he was a firstborn living entity. He saw there was darkness all around. There was nobody around him. And he didn't know what to do. He tried searching in all the planetary systems. From the stem of that lotus, he went up and down. But by his own tapasya, he could not understand. By his own austerity, speculation. Because the Supreme Lord is beyond our sense perception. He cannot be understood by our gross senses. And when Brahmaji was trying to understand, he understood that he cannot understand. And then when he was praying within, trying to understand what is his source, the Supreme Lord, out of his causeless mercy, spoke from within his heart. The two words, tapo. In the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam also, the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahmarudaya Adi Kavaye. Adi Kavaya, Adi Kavi is Lord Brahma. Tene Brahmarudaya Adi Kavaye. In his heart, the Supreme Lord gave that Brahma Jnana. How to create, the secondary creation. The things were created, universe was created. But what is the next level? That duty was assigned to Lord Brahma. So, Brahmaji was given that a very, very serious task. And he understood that the Supreme Lord is the ultimate cause of all causes, right from the very beginning. And he composed Brahma Sanhita, the glorification of the Supreme Lord. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. He realized from within that the Supreme Lord Ishvara Parama Krishna, Krishna who is Parameshwar, he is not an ordinary Ishvara or controller of this material world. He is Parameshwar. Sarva Karana Karana. He is the cause of all causes. Anadir Adir Govinda. He does not have any beginning. And he is the beginning of everyone. That is the definition of the Supreme Lord. Janmadya Seyatha. So, the Supreme Lord or the Adi Purush has to be understood in that way. Otherwise, there is unending logic of trying to understand who is the original person, from whom the creation has come. There is no end to it. It just cannot end anywhere. Because our logic and reasoning fails. Therefore, the knowledge has to be accepted home. In the disciplic succession, in the parampara, the bona fide disciplic succession. And here Brahmaji was the first person from whom Brahma parampara has come. Brahma parampara. There are four paramparas: Brahma, Rudra, Shri, Kumara. But Brahmaji's parampara is the first. So he is giving that knowledge to Narad Muni. And we can see that how he is at such a supreme position. He is at the topmost position. He is a spiritual master, original spiritual master. In this material world, for this parampara. And in front of him, there is only one disciple sitting. He is not expecting thousands of people crowding him, trying to hear kathas from him. But only one person, trying to submissively inquire. And he is still giving that knowledge. He is not expecting too many people around him. And what kind of knowledge is given? It's a very divine, transcendental knowledge. The confidential knowledge is given. And that knowledge is still available to you. That is the power of knowledge. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta paraspara katayantashtamam nityam tushanti charamanti. What is the business of a disciple and a guru? They discuss Krishna. The purpose is glorifying the Supreme Lord. That is the only purpose. Because that glorification is a power to purify this material world, the contaminations of this material world. And therefore we can see that how even that knowledge has been preserved very systematically. And it has reached to us. In Kali Yuga we don't have capacity to understand transcendence or even to get a glimpse of what is transcendence. We need a lot of external aids. Book. If there is no book, we cannot understand that knowledge. Even there is a book, still we cannot understand knowledge. Because we don't have that capacity to understand. We may read it again and again, but still we will not get to understand. We need to have a person who has understood it. Then only we can understand. Otherwise our intellectual capacity we cannot understand. In any field we can see that we may have so many material fields, streams of knowledge, science, commerce, arts, management, medical, engineering. Student may go to college and try to read the books and try to pass the exams. But he will have some limited understanding of the subject. But when he goes to the teacher who teaches him properly, who explains the subject, what are the important topics, what is the formula, how to apply, then that knowledge becomes more tangible. It can be understood, applicable. So what to speak of the spiritual knowledge, which is beyond our understanding. And when it has come in the form of the words or the sound vibration, sound vibration carries lot of knowledge. Now, there is a difference between material sound vibration and spiritual sound vibration. Material sound vibration, one will get knowledge of the material world. What is the material world? There is a difference between the word and the object in the material world. Like I say, a book. The word book and the object book, there is a difference. Because it is material. But in the spiritual platform, at the higher level, there is no difference between the word and the object. So therefore, when we speak or chant Krishna, this word is not an ordinary word. It is a transcendental word. And therefore the word Krishna and person Krishna, they are not different. That is the difference. And therefore that transcendental sound, when it is coming from the higher level, through the mouth of a pure devotee, those topics of Krishna Katha, they become manifested to our ears. Sometimes it is explained that there is a journey of how the transcendental sound comes to our ears. It is at the beginning, at the stage of para. It is a transcendental sound. Then it comes to paschanti. Then it comes to madhyama. And then it comes to vaikhari. So when Brahma was told to create or tapa, tapa means austerity. Tap. Tap karna, tapasya karna. So he was asked to do austerities. And he performed austerities. And through that austerities, through that purification, how to create universes, that was first visible. Paschanti means he was able to see at his mental level what he is going to do. He was able to see paschanti. And then madhyama is like the interim stage between paschanti and vaikhari. And then what he wanted to do was created, or it came into the existence. So the transcendental sound comes through that level, and then it comes to our audible range. It is a sound vibration. From another perspective, there are a lot of spiritual scientists who have observed that ultimately everything is vibration. All the atoms are vibrating. All the atoms, molecules are vibrating at a certain frequency. Our bodies are also vibrating at a certain frequency. And according to that, everything is decided, whether a heart is beating properly or not. If heart is not beating properly, that means it is not normal. Some extra beats are coming, ectopics. So we need a treatment. The heart, our body is not functioning properly. It is not having a proper rhythm. That means we are not normal. So this is just at a gross level. What to speak of the mental level? The thoughts. Thoughts are also like vibrations. They also are created within and they are emitted outside. And sometimes we can feel there is uncomfortable level when somebody comes in contact with somebody who has very negative thoughts or very depressed or so like that. We can get little bit glimpse of it. That there is an uncomfort level here. I'm not comfortable. Vibes are not good here. So because it is emitting from the mind somewhere and it is coming in the atmosphere. And some people have tried to find out also. Scientists have tried to find out what can be the thoughts of a person. They have detected some machines and tried to understand what this person is thinking now. This is possible. Materially it is possible. What to speak of the yogis who can read the mind? There are yogis who can understand, they can understand our mental wavelength and understand what this person is thinking. They can read other person's mind. So this is at the more subtle level. And at the higher level, when we go to the spiritual level, when we understand that this, all these thoughts and everything, there is a reason. There is a living person within. There is an Atma within. And the Atma is not there. The soul is not there. The body is a dead matter. It doesn't have its own capability to function. It needs presence of Atma. Then only it can speak, it can see, it can hear, it can smell. As soon as the Atma leaves the body, that body is a dead body. And we do so much things, so many things just to maintain this material body. And still we don't have any control over this material body. Right from childhood, it is growing, it is getting old, it gets diseases, it dies. We don't have any control over our body. And sometimes we don't know what is happening. Here it is explained that Kshetradnya means at least we know of our body. We are conscious of our body. Somebody pricks us, pinches us, then we get hurt, right? Because we are conscious of our own body. We are not conscious of others' bodies, or what other person is going through. Somebody is suffering, we may not be so much conscious. Sometimes we may get a little glimpse that, oh yeah, this person doesn't appear to be healthy or he appears to be disturbed. But when we go and inquire, then only we get a real picture, real understanding. So therefore, there is no wonder that there is so much misunderstanding in this material world. Because we cannot understand other person perfectly. And we cannot expect other person to understand us perfectly. What to speak of other person understanding us perfectly? We ourselves cannot understand ourselves perfectly. So what to speak of other person understanding is perfect. And therefore there is misunderstanding. It is natural. Sometimes we may say that this person doesn't understand. What can we do? Because we ourselves cannot understand our perfectly. How we think, how we act. Our thought patterns are totally different. So therefore, we need to go more deeper and try to understand ourselves perfectly first. That is the whole program. Who we are. When we understand ourselves perfectly, then we'll be able to understand others perfectly. Right? And for that purpose, the entire program has been made. The entire purpose of creation, we can see. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, entire, all the knowledge has been when gurus are coming, incarnations are coming. So that we understand ourselves perfectly. Right? To understand that we are not these mortal bodies, we are spirit souls. We are minute living entity. We are not the controllers. The Supreme Lord is the controller. He is the master of everything. And therefore, we can see that when somebody understands that knowledge of the self, Atma, then one will become perfectly peaceful. Because Atma does not die. Soul does not die. Body may die and someday we'll have to leave the body. We cannot stop it. Even we try to stop it, after some time it will be too much miserable for us. Right? We cannot live for many, many years. We may wish somebody, may you live for 100 years. But is it a blessing or it is a kind of misery we are giving? Right? Therefore better we should leave the body early, as soon as. When we are in perfect Krishna consciousness, better we leave. King Kulasekhar, he also, when he is a king, he is praying that let me die as earlier, as now. Because now I am very strong, healthy, my mind is focused, I can remember the Supreme Lord. When I become old, and that time it is so difficult to remember, even to speak, what to speak of focusing completely like a yogi, it is not possible. So therefore he is praying that let me leave the body as early as possible. When I am in good consciousness, I do not want to wait till that moment when my all the kapha, vata, pitta, they get disturbed. Even one of the elements gets disturbed. Kapha, pitta, vata, they get disturbed. We are in a diseased condition, right? We just cannot focus. Little bit cold, body starts paining, we don't function properly. Too much heat, pitta and all. So, we are so much controlled by various factors. And still we want to become the controllers. Isn't it? Still, even in that situation, that small living entity, it's time to become a controller and master of the universe. Right? Every boy thinks to become the master of the universe. And every girl thinks that she is a Miss Universe. It's a joke. So, we are not that. We are misidentifying. We are wrongly identifying ourselves. Therefore, Bhagavatam tells, Bhagavad Gita tells us who we are. Keshagra Shatu Bhagat. We are 1/10,000th of the hair. Can you imagine our presence in the entire universe? In the entire universe, our presence is 1/10,000th of the hair. Take the cross section of the hair, make it into 100 parts. Take one part of it, again make it into 100 parts. 10,000. That small, and even that is material understanding. Spiritually, it's a chitkarna, it's a spiritual spark. That is our existence in this entire cosmic manifestation. So, we can imagine our existence and still the covering of this material universe, material covering is so powerful that it makes one think that one day I will control everyone. Right? I will become the prime minister, whatever, captain, managing director. Even the smallest position in this material world, one can get so much affected. Little bit position is given and one thinks that now everything is under my control. It is not possible. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam continuously reminds us of our reality, our position. Even Brahma, if you understand from the spiritual perspective, Brahma is also a living entity. He is also one of us, a Jivatma. But of course he has a lot of pious credits. He has performed tremendous pious credits and he has been appointed at that position. Qualification, he has qualified for that. To create secondary creation, various species of life and populate the universe and so many things he created, demigods he created. So, he is not an ordinary person, definitely he is a very powerful person. And we can see that even at that position, Krishna can understand. Krishna is beyond everyone. And he can detect everything. When somebody is getting little proud or little bit affected by his own creation, he can understand that also. So when Brahma, Krishna had come in Vrindavan 5,000 years before, he was playing like a small child. He was in Vrindavan and playing with his friends and all. He was eating dirt. His mother tells, "You are eaten dirt." He said, "No, I have not eaten dirt." "Yes, yes, you have eaten dirt." "No, I have not eaten." "Open your mouth." Krishna, like a small child, he opens his mouth. And what happens? Mother Yashoda, she starts looking into that small mouth of Krishna and starts seeing universes, all the different planetary systems. So many galaxies, so many things, oceans, mountains, in that small mouth. And they come to Vrindavan and she sees that, she's seeing Krishna in his mouth. She sees that and she just cannot understand what is happening here. Mother Yashoda gets bewildered. And Krishna, just very nonchalantly, he's opened his mouth and showing his universal form within his mouth, small mouth. And he understands that Mother Yashoda has become a little bit delirious. She is confused. Who is my child? Is this the Supreme Lord Narayan? Is he Vishnu? And as soon as she starts feeling that, he closes his mouth. And again she becomes like his mother. And again she is trying to tell him, please take this, please drink milk, don't make mischief, like a small child. So we can understand that how Krishna is so powerful, and he, through his yoga maya, he covers everyone, all of his devotees. And when Brahma, he was seeing cowherd friends playing with Krishna, Krishna was in the forest. He had gone to herd the cows with his so many hundreds and thousands of boyfriends, cowherd friends. They were taking care of the cows and going around everywhere, playing with birds, animals. Very nice time they had. And when it became the lunch time, they sat together, they were having lunch, and they were making fun of each other. And Krishna, he very nicely, he ate Mahaprasad of his friend. Some acharyas explain that some coward gopa, he had eaten something, cheap rice, dahi rice or something, and he pushed on his cheeks. I mean, he pushed his cheeks and his mouth open. That friend's mouth open, and Krishna ate that. So now, it's very unusual. Brahma, he just could not understand that this boy, he is the Supreme Lord. Is he doing such thing? Can the Supreme Lord do such things? So he was thinking, no, he may not be a Supreme God. He may be like an ordinary child. Let me test him. Let me just try to test him whether he is Supreme God or not. So he decided, okay, let me try to make some mischief, something I should do by which Krishna will get bewildered. He will think that, where are my friends? Where are cows? He will keep searching. So he thought, he came from his Brahmaloka on a swan carrier to bewilder Krishna. And he saw that some of the boys had gone little bit away, and he took those boys and slowly he hid them in some cave. He thought that now Krishna has not seen it, and I will see the fun. How Krishna's face appears, how he is searching for his friends. And he tries to look at Krishna in a moment. And when Brahma, he sees Krishna and his friends, they're all there. Nothing has happened, nothing has changed. Brahma had come to bewilder Krishna, but he himself got bewildered. Isn't it? That is because Krishna, even for that moment, Krishna could not be bewildered. He understood that this person, He thinks that he is the secondary creator, he is a Brahma. He has this doubt in his mind. And Krishna removed that doubt. And then we know what happened. Brahma, he was looking, how these boys are still there? And then, of course, Lord had expanded himself into all those boys and cows and calves, so many things. And within that moment, 1 year had passed. And then Krishna performed so many pastimes within that 1 year. So we can understand that how Krishna is a supreme knower. He knows each and every living entity. He knows everyone in all the universes. That is a supreme knower. He is anoranya mahato mahiya. He can enter into the smallest of the small. He can enter into the atom. That is the inconceivable nature of the Lord. And He creates everyone differently. Sometimes we may think that so many human beings, they look identical. I mean, they are human beings. But still, if you observe that, every person is a different person. Their fingerprints will be different. Their faces will be different. Even there may be twins. There will be little difference. Right? So we can understand the creation, how everyone has been created so uniquely. Everyone has a different intelligence, different skills, different nature. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita tells that we need to understand ourselves perfectly. We should not try to compare with others. That this person is like this. I want to become like him. Or like her. It will be just another illusion we'll be creating. We'll be living in another misidentification. Therefore, we have to focus on ourselves. And the mysteries will start unfolding. So therefore, the entire material creation has been created in such a way that we don't get bewildered. We take shelter of the Lord, His association, devotees' association, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, and then we'll see that everything will be clear. Srila Prabhupada, He... So anybody wants to ask questions or comments, you can come personally. Time is over. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Thank you.